This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Every time you open up a publication today, you know, there's another security breach. In most corporate environments today, the issue is not the destruction or any sort of malicious intent of destroying the data. It's normally protecting against the theft of data.
This is Brad Baldwin with Rocky Mountain Voices, and I'm here today with Nolan Rosen from Senforce. Welcome, Nolan.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to be able to spend a few minutes with you, introduce your company, let you talk a little bit more about what you're doing here at Senforce. Senforce is in Draper, Utah, one of the real anchor up-and-comers. In fact, they're really there, and excited to let our listeners learn more about what you're up to. Some of our listeners will obviously want to know is, who is Senforce, and where are you at in the market? What space do you play? Would you take a minute, Nolan, and just introduce Senforce to us and allow our listeners to get to know your company a little more?
Senforce Technologies, as you said, is a Utah-based company. We're focused in endpoint security. We've been in endpoint security, as we like to think of it, before it was even cool. It's real intriguing because the number one space in software today in terms of, obviously, you know, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt is security. The number one space in terms of kind of within the security space is endpoint security. And the reason for that is that there's just, you know, it's almost pandemic proportions in terms of, you know, laptops being stolen, breached. You know, in fact, there's a website I think be worthwhile for the listeners to go to, which is called www.privateclearinghouse.org. It's a site that tracks all security breaches in the U.S. that have taken place since February 2005, I think it is. And I think we're at about 320 total breaches, and that's about, or should I say, companies that have been registered as having breaches, with about 90 million total records have been lost or breached. And that's just public and government institutions that are obviously forced to disclose that information, not including private companies. And so when you think of those kind of numbers, obviously you can quickly realize why this is, you know, a real hot space and something that we've obviously, you know, are able to go and, you know, fulfill on the demand to address those issues. So we have a very comprehensive, our differentiation out there is a very comprehensive footprint. We've seen a lot of great traction with customers like Department of Justice and all the derivatives thereof, Department of Defense, a lot of financial services, healthcare, you know, retailers, etc. So a lot of good traction out there just because of the demand and the need to obviously secure environments.
Excellent. That's a great introduction. Now, some of our listeners may not have a, you know, a big background in the security sector, or even the endpoint. Could you just enlarge that just a little bit? Help everyone understand better what the endpoint means.
Sure, absolutely. First, when we speak of endpoint, it has connotations of devices that sit on the perimeter or beyond kind of the perimeter of the corporate network. Traditionally, those are notebooks, PDAs, desktops, etc. Devices that tend to focus on mobility. And you know, one of the things that is the fundamental vector of differentiation for us is based on the concept that we believe that the style of computing in the enterprise has moved to mobility, much like what happened in the consumer world in the late kind of 90s, early 2000. You know, that trend has kind of migrated into the corporate world. And so anything where you can take information, put it on a device, could be an iPod, it, you know, could be a camera, anything that enumerates itself as a device where ultimately in some way I can be productive or contribute to, you know, the corporation in whatever fashion that might be. Ultimately could be inside, static inside the corporation, but most of the times is moving around and is kind of some way connected with the user of that device or that information. So when we say endpoint security, what we're really talking about is the ability to secure that device, and it's somewhat of a complex conversation when you secure a device, when you think of what security could mean in an iPod or a camera or a laptop or a desktop or a PDA, etc. But it's been able to lock that down effectively and ensure that whatever your corporate policies are, based on the industry that you might be in, that you're able to secure that and ensure that you can comply with whatever, you know, the necessity is, which could be a corporate-based policy or could be, you know, a regulatory compliance issue that says that, you know, you have to have something that is audited on a regular basis.
In fact, being able to take advantage of it before it was cool, the whole mobility sector, as you mentioned, is truly exploding with an upside-down flip from desktops being the popular machine now to being laptops. I'm sure that's been a fun wave to ride as it started to rise in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely huge at the moment. And you know, there's data points, but some of the facts that you're probably just as familiar as I am is, one is there are more laptops sold today than there are desktops. IDC is quoted as saying the mobile worker or telecommuter, however you want to think of it, will double within the next 3 years. But the interesting data point for us that ultimately is really kind of, you know, gets at the heart of what we try and address is the fact that Gartner quotes that 2/3 of data now has migrated from the servers onto endpoint devices. And that's kind of, as they refer to it, as fresh and business critical information now sits on these endpoint devices. And the reason that that's happening, as I said, in this mobility world, there is definite corporate value, whether that be competitive differentiation, corporate agility, but there's this concept of moving information closer to the customer, wherever that might be, as if I can get information in front of you, there is an opportunity to provide a great amount of value in terms of personal productivity. So that concept of moving information closer to the edge of the enterprise or to the endpoints is something that has real business value. The challenge with that, obviously, is every time you open up a publication today, you know, there's another security breach and there's another, you know, issue. I mean, it truly is at an epidemic level.
Well, there's always eBay to retrieve them all. So, you know, it's definitely makes a lot of sense as we've been able to grow the enterprise and actually put them in the field to have this type of security. And the value of the data, as we all know, that's on one of these devices usually far exceeds anything that the replacement value of the device. So people are obviously interested in securing the contents. What are the ways in which you secure the device and ensure the enterprise this stamp of approval that you're going to be able to protect their important asset?
You know, first of all, endpoint security very often is associated with antivirus or anti-spyware, and those are solutions that are absolutely mission critical, you know, to any organization, and they should have deployed. But really, that focuses on the malicious destruction of data, and in most corporate environments today, the issue is not the destruction or any sort of malicious intent of destroying the data. It's normally protecting against the theft of data. And in that world, there's two ways to approach it. As opposed to just always being focused on, you know, the device being lost or stolen, there is the approach of ensuring that the devices that accesses the network has a level of integrity. In other words, that you know, don't have any viruses, you don't have any worms, that you know, effectively the state of that device once plugged into a network is set at a certain threshold, and as long as it's above that threshold, you'll allow that in. It's very much a protecting the infrastructure from the endpoint. And the solutions out there today are referred to as NAC solutions, Network Admissions Control Solution, or Network Access Control Solutions. Not very concerned about the device itself, more concerned about the infrastructure. We solve that with our SendForce Network Access Control Solution, but that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is speaking to the very issue that we touched on early on, which is a breach or the theft of the data. And there we have an agent-based solution that allows you as a security administrator or as an IT professional to create a policy associated with any aspect of the device and then push those policies out to be machine-based policies, and those normally work well in, let's say, call centers where multiple people touch a single machine. Alternatively, you set a policy and push it out using a corporate directory, using either something like a Microsoft Active Directory or Novell E Directory, or any corporate LDAP compliant directory, and then you'd push that out to either a user or a group of users, and then those policies get enforced using our agent. And the types of policies you can set are pretty much any aspect of the device. We are, again, are uniquely differentiated in that we take a 360 comprehensive view of endpoint. So whether it be serial ports or whether it be USB or removable storage or data encryption or personal firewall or wireless or the way I tend to like to think of it is that there are three logical groupings within the endpoint, and that is connectivity, the data and the device, you know, the software, the hard aspect of the device. And so we can provide policy settings that are extremely granular across all of them. And just to end it off, we even take it a step further in that not only can we set policies across all of that, but we can set policies that dynamically adjust themselves depending on the location they find themselves in. So, for example, in a Starbucks or at a home or work or an airport lounge, the threat vector or profile will differ, and so we can dynamically adjust that. And it's just a simple example that could be in the office, USB is allowed. Outside the office, USB is not allowed. And without any user intervention, we'll pretty much shut that off.
Well, that's very comprehensive. I was recently in a meeting with an Intel executive who joked that the USB thumb drive or the device today seems to be the most highly used networking device ever created in the market. And it's amazing how these new devices, the miniaturization of these technologies, are really changing a lot of the challenges in the enterprise. So it's interesting that you're able to go all that that far down to that small of a device, even though they're supporting so much data.
You're spot on. I mean, just as an example, one of the interesting things that I'd read about an article about 2 weeks ago is that a large financial institution recently conducted an initiative where they took 25 different USB flash drives and they put a Trojan virus on them and left them in the parking lot just to see what would happen. And 20 of those devices land up, something close to 20 of those land up registering themselves within the enterprise where people have just picked them up because it's just, you know, it's simple, it's cool, it's easy. But, you know, to me it speaks to the issue is if 20 of those devices that were picked up in the parking lot are registered now inside the corporation, first of all, not only is the potential for malicious destruction of data through, you know, viruses and worms, but at the same time, if they can come into the enterprise that quickly, then moving information, you know, onto those devices and going out of the enterprise becomes, you know, it should be a huge concern for any, you know, business or any, you know, security department.
I think one point that I'd be interested in hearing your perspective on, this almost kind of futurist kind of perspective here, the IT directors and those that are setting the policies, what do you think their biggest challenges are based on what you're hearing from your customers today in providing this kind of solution? What are they hurting for?
I would say the same issues that they have today have been the issues that they've had for as long as I've been in the IT industry. And it's always a case of they've been asked to do more with less. I know we say it very often, but the reality is, you know, whenever I speak to them, they have 35 projects and they really have cycles to focus on five, and the other 30 they've kind of got to get done in the next 2 weeks. And so it's a case of without providing them a very complex solution is give them something that's easy to use, which I think is a, you know, core principle of any solution today is if it's going to take me longer than, you know, 60 minutes familiarizing myself with it, then it's just not a practical solution in terms of infrastructure or security. The other thing is that as the solution, you know, is built, as it is a management framework, in other words, it gives them control. So as opposed to touching each and every single device, they're looking for something that ultimately will give them that control, that management framework, but not, you know, require them to go out and touch every single device. So there's an element of being able to provide, you know, that easy-to-use solution that ultimately gives them a comprehensive footprint on whatever they're going to be managing or securing without the massive overhead.
Or are there any stories that, you know, when you're working with the Department of Defense and those kinds of folks, you obviously can't share a lot of success stories, but do you have customers that you could reference here for our listeners that where you've really made a difference for them?
In our case, truly, some of our customers sharing those stories, you know, like, you know, the old phrase that I'd have to kill you if I shared it with you, could very well be the case there. But I would say that one of the customers' success stories that we had, and we touched on it early on in reference to USB security issues, is a customer called Technicolor. And I think it's intriguing for a lot of reasons, but I'll give you some sort of insight. As Technicolor does distribution of a lot of major films. One of them was King Kong. And obviously there's a media file there that obviously is moving an organization and going through multi-iterations, et cetera, before ultimately being released out to the public. But if something like that got out ahead of schedule, let's say even by a week, 2 weeks, a month, that could have massive, massive impact to the film industry overall, as well as obviously to Technicolor, could ultimately destroy their business and mean just millions and millions, if not tens of millions of dollars of lost revenue. So, there's a necessity to ensure that they had secured it. And then that environment, what they were looking for was exactly that, the ability to, A, limit and centrally manage USB access. So there were some machines that were allowed USB, some of them read-only, some of them no access. And then what they were looking for, which is a unique feature that we provide, is the ability to track what devices, what information is copied onto that USB device. But also, more importantly, was to register the device so that they could whitelist only certain devices that were used throughout the company. And so, for example, serial number A through F was allowed to be used, and any other device would not be registered and not be able to be used within in the organization. So there was a perfect customer example of someone that there was real business value, real impact, and beyond just securing or getting the concern of malicious destruction or theft of data, there was a real practical business rationale behind ensuring that those devices were managed effectively. And that was a phenomenal success story for us, and obviously it came out on time and it got released according to schedule, so we'd like to have we'd like to say we contributed to that in some way.
Well, I'm sure Jack Black appreciates that and others from that movie. And it makes a lot of sense for the business, especially in the case where we're trying to manage our intellectual property or intellectual assets. I've been speaking today with Nolan Rosen from Senforce. And thanks, Nolan, for being here on the program. I'm sure listeners will learn a lot from this today. Until next time, this is Brad Baldwin for Rocky Mountain Voices.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.